Welcome into episode 98 of the Godly Young Men podcast. Today we are talking about leadership. We had an episode, I think episode 39.
39.
Yeah, episode 39 on leaders versus followers. And in that episode, we got into, you know, different ideas. But I was thinking about this. I've had a lot of leadership thoughts on my mind. And of course, we got a new president elected, and he's going in and establishing his cabinet. Something that hit me is, you know, he gets Pete Hegseth, I think the guy's name is, and there's others that are going in, and everybody goes, are they going to make good leaders? Can they lead this position? Can they lead in this position? Are they qualified? And I got to thinking, there's a lot left on that bone of leadership, going back to episode 39, that I think we can get into.
Yeah, well, what we talked a lot about with that first episode back, and I think we actually, funny enough, with your shirt, we followed it up with an episode on Deion Sanders.
Yeah, that's right.
And why he was an effective leader.
We are recording this on Saturday before the Heisman has been chosen, just so you're aware. So this is, what, 4 days before draft?
Surely before he's getting the Heisman.
So he better get the Heisman.
Travis Hunter, for all you non-football fans.
Yeah, there you go. If he doesn't, I'm going to look like an idiot with this shirt. But this is before it has been chosen.
It's still a pretty cool shirt, even if he doesn't win it. But he's talented guy. But anyway, what we talked a lot about with that episode was more so just why you as godly young men should kind of take on certain leadership traits, specifically within your family as a husband and a father. Because we made the point that whether it be in the church or in an organization, like, not everybody can be a leader. So, like, if you're a part of a big corporation, you may just not be cut out to be a leader. Or in your church, like, not every guy there is spiritually cut out to be a leader. But we kind of pointed out that, you know, with your family, you should have certain leadership traits. What we didn't talk much about, though, Joe, was kind of the dangers of being a follower, specifically among your peers. Mm. And Joe kind of had the idea for this episode, because it is very serious in the sense of young men, 15 to 25, specifically that range, there's a lot of peer pressure at times, and you can get into a lot of trouble being a follower.
Yeah, I mean, I could share countless stories of young men who just ruin their lives by being followers, by not stepping up and going, hey guys, maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe we should do this instead. That's even soft pedaling leadership. Instead of, guys, we're going to do this, or I'm not doing that. It's like, what if we did? They don't even ask. Maybe they just go headlong. I mean, I've lost friends. I've lost cousins, literally their lives, because they went along and did something stupid. I can think of three right now of people that severely messed up their lives. And I heard another one this week, young underage drinking taking place, you know, and choices were made that I think if somebody had taken a leadership position and said, we're not going to do this. That's we're not having this, or we're not doing this right now. Something would have been, you know, like, lives would have been changed. Something that was terrible would not have happened. And so this is very real world consequences here. That's why this matters so much. As you go, does it really, really matter? Like, yeah, it does, because of all of these stories that I'm not going to, I know we have some people that actually watch this that I'm sure can relate to it, but other people that I know their stories potentially of what's taken place and how difficult some of these challenges can be. And so it's not like I'm going to use names or anything else. And I even have my own stories of times where I followed, and I've told them on the podcast before, that didn't turn out well for me either. And so this is very relevant for that reason.
You know, the example that I think of, and I'm all of a sudden realizing my mic not be close enough. Hopefully that wasn't too bad for the start of the episode. But you know, the example I'm thinking of, Joe, do you remember the viral story probably 2-3 months ago now of the kid that jumped off the cruise ship? Did you ever see that story?
I don't think so.
It's tragic. Basically, it was a
oh, no.
6-7 second video clip of a kid being shouted, encouraged on by all of his high school buddies or whatever. They were on a cruise ship, pitch black in the middle of the night, jumps off, never found his body. There's video too, like, it looked like there were sharks around him. It wasn't confirmed, but literally a cruise ship, middle of the night where it's pitch black out,
kidding me?
Jumps off because his friends are like, it was basically a dare gone wrong. But his friends were like, shout him, encourage him. He jumped off, never seen again. I mean, the sharks might not have happened, but for all he knows, he probably drowned. And like, nobody in that circle of friends was like, huh, maybe this isn't such a great idea.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Our friends, you know, about to die, but just, nope, being stupid, everybody following, nobody stepping up and leading. And so that's kind of where my mind went. It's just stuff like that. And that was just a tragic story. They were just on a senior trip. And so, yeah, like, there's, to Joe's point, there's a lot of stories you could tell, whether it be in the news, people's own personal stories. And what we are calling you as godly young men to do, specifically with your peers, is be a leader.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of talked in the episode last time about how not everybody's got to be a leader. I don't know if we've changed our stance necessarily. It's kind of interesting. But, like, I am going to be teaching Jackson, among your friends, be a leader. Don't be bossy. Right. Don't be the everybody's got to do what I want to do type of leader. That's not what I'm talking about. Or that's not what we're talking about, I should say. But more so just lead with your actions, lead in behavior, lead in good qualities. Don't be always following everybody else.
The difference that I would say is not everybody's cut out to be like a major leader in the church, an elder or whatever it is. Not everybody has the leadership qualities to become the president. Like we realize
that. Or even in your job.
Or even in your job. Not everybody's going to be the CEO. They're not going to be the boss. This is one that I think every godly young man needs to be striving for. And you may be in a group of friends, and I've been in a group of friends, where it's a godly group and I don't feel pressure to have to really step up and lead. We're saying, we realize the average situation, you're probably going to be around some knuckleheads. You're going to be around some people that make dumb decisions. That's part of life. I had my hockey buddies. Not every decision they made was fantastic. And so it took, as we've talked before, I've talked about this before, it took my mom and dad really pressuring, putting that on me of like, you can't be a follower in this situation because they're trying weed, they're getting into porn, they're getting all these other things at hockey. And you have to lead in that moment. So when I'm around my church buddies, when I'm around you, when I'm around my brother, whatever it is, like I don't have to step up in that situation. It's really being aware of whatever the situation calls for.
But with your hockey buddies, the situation called.
Correct. It called for somebody to take a leadership stand that we used to, you know, they talk about like we go on the road and play in different states and such. We're going to go TP the hotel. Like, no, we're not. We're not. And some of them went and did it anyway, but like you have to be willing to stand up and say, we're not going to do that. That's a really bad idea. Stupid stuff, you know, and they're a young teenage. And so there may be people looking at it going, really, that's the fun or what's the problem there? It leads to like, where does it end, I guess, would be the question that I'd ask.
Yeah.
Okay, it's TPing a hotel now. Now it's somebody jumping off a cruise ship. Like, where does it end in that? If you're willing to give into peer pressure here, at what point is it going to be too far for you?
We're not anti-fun. Correct. We're not having a good time. What we're anti is stupidity. Right. Like, just don't be yeah, stupid. Exactly. Don't make stupid decisions and you'll be fine. This is kind of something we've talked about before, you know, on different episodes. But it really speaks to the heart of, once again, just – are you going to step up and be a leader and say, well, we're not really going to do that? And we're going to get more into that a little bit later in the episode, but that's what we're talking about. Are you going to follow your peers making dumb decisions, passing the vape around, passing the porn around, whatever it is? Or are you going to step out and be a leader? And here's the thing. Leadership in a business or even in the church, I guess, in some ways, like leadership can be glamorized sometimes. With peer pressure, it's often not, because you're often having to challenge everybody else. Does that make sense? Like, it's not like you're stepping up into a position of glamour and power. Oh, I'm going to be the leader. In a lot of cases, especially if you do what we're talking about, which is kind of pushing back on people being dumb and stupid, you might get ostracized at first, or you might get looked at as like, who do you think you are type of thing. And so it's not just this position of privilege or power, really, like it might be in a corporation or something like that. It's going to take you stepping out on a limb in a lot of instances.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You'll have your detractors. You'll have people that don't like you for saying, because you are the anti-fun guy. You're going to be called the, in best terms, fuddy-duddy. In other terms, probably not appropriate for the podcast, right? You're going to be called names. You're going to be called things that it's like, really, you just don't want to have fun, stick in the mud, things like that. You got to be willing to take that on. That's part of leadership, is being willing to stand up to the pressure. And so, Will, I want you to get into, I think there are four things that we set down as to how we can be better leaders. I think four has been a key number in the last few, but four ways that we can be better leaders and you added a couple on here that I think are just fantastic, including this first one.
Well, Joe, you put some really solid ones on there. And as I was okay, here's what to do. And as I was thinking about it, I moved one to the first slot, because I think before you can be a leader among your peers, you have to be somebody worth following.
That's so good.
Reading a leadership book right now, and it's primarily talking about within a company, like organizational leadership, leading people, coaching people. So not really technically what we're talking about with friends and such, but they're harping on that a lot in the book about you have to be someone worth following. Nobody's going to want to follow somebody who is not worth following. And so that's a very generic statement. I hate people who just make statements like that and then move on. Okay, next thing. It's like, okay, well, let's define that for a second. And so, Joe, I will ask you, and then you can ask me, we can kind of go back and forth. How do you be somebody worth following? I purposely didn't put anything down here because I kind of wanted us to just throw it out there and talk about it. What does that look like? Like, how if I'm telling a 17, 18-year-old, hey, among your peer group, you need to be somebody worth following, what do you think that means?
I think that's a great question. The first thing that stands out to me, the first thing I thought when I saw that, when I saw you put that down, you have to stand out from the crowd to a certain degree. Now, if the crowd's going along, you know, doing well, then okay, I guess that's fine. Again, you don't necessarily have to take the leadership stand. Guys, follow me. This is not the alpha. This is not the, you know, showboat, look at me.
Clown,
right, of like, that's what a leader. No, what we're saying is you're willing to stand up, and the last one's really going to be the key as we get there, number four. But as far as it goes with being somebody worth following, I think you have to emulate, first off, Christ. Mm-hmm. Emulate things that are worth emulating, right? And Christ is the one we're following. Paul says, be like me as I am like Christ, right? We want to have that where we're like Paul, who's like Christ, or whatever it may be. So I think knowing who you're emulating in that moment, the other thing that hits me on being somebody worth following is, once again, being willing to, like, standing up to your friends and having a posture, and this is almost esoteric, it's kind of difficult to get into this, you have to have a posture of confidence in yourself. Oh, like, sure. If you're the slouch guy that's like...
You have to know what you're about.
Hey, guys, we really shouldn't do that. Like, nobody's going to pay attention to you. You have to know what you're about. You have to be somebody that is confident, that they look at and go, and it doesn't mean you have to be 7 feet tall. It means you have to stand proud and say, okay, that guy knows what he wants in life, and that's what stands out to me, at least.
There's a charisma and a magnetism to this idea of and we've talked about this before for sure, about like guys that just kind of walk into a circle of people, and they, like, even without doing it intentionally or even talking a lot, they just have a charisma, magnetic, you know, force about them where it's like, I kind of want to be like that guy. And there's an element of that. Know what you're about. I was going to say the other thing, you got to have your stuff together. Have your stuff together. That's like, by that, I mean, you can't be the guy that's leading your peer group and not doing dumb stuff, but man, the rest of your life's kind of in shambles. Again, maybe you're looking at porn, or you are just sloppy with, you know, you don't exercise, sloppy with the way you eat. You don't ever, you're not very spiritual. You don't
take yourself seriously.
Don't take yourself seriously. Hygiene. Like, we could throw a million examples out there. You have to have your stuff together. It doesn't mean you got to be perfect. It doesn't mean you just have to be this, you know, model of a guy who always makes the right decisions and who always is just perfectly dressed and perfect. Like, not saying that. But especially if you're towards the later end of your teenage years, you know, again, 18, 19, into your 20s, you really need to have your stuff together in the sense of got good habits in place, you exercise, you're somebody who, again, does not appear sloppy, you take yourself seriously. These things matter. A lot of people in the church don't think that it does. Like, it's all spiritual. Spiritual stuff does matter. It's the most important.
Sure.
But this other stuff does too, and it's just human nature. If I have somebody looks sloppy, presents poorly, like you said, kind of the slouchy thing, or, you know, I can tell he doesn't really have good habits in place, maybe doesn't do well in school, whatever, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be inclined to follow that person.
Right.
I'm just not. And maybe that's a me problem, but I truly don't think it is. There is an element of, I want to follow people who are worth following. And so all of these things we're talking about, I think, go into that.
We had we call it, in my family, there's a kid when they were growing up named Jacob Cisneros. My siblings had, when they went to school, before we were homeschooled, they went to school, and everybody thought this kid was it, man. Like, he was him, as they say.
he's him.
And it was all fluff. There was no substance there at all, but man, he walked around with this swag, and everybody's like, oh, Jacob, and falling all over themselves. And so we call it the Jacob Cisneros syndrome in my family. That's funny. Nothing to anybody else, but that's what it...
You think he'll ever watch this podcast? And then
seriously, he's like, are you kidding me? Yeah, no, he's probably making his million somewhere. But no, I mean, he had that magnetism there, and it was the way he carried himself. He didn't even have the substance behind it. That's what the rest of our podcasts are about, 97 before it, or having substance behind it. But he had that swag that people look at it and go, man, I'm following him. So if he asked kids to do something, or when it went to the playground, everybody wanted to be like him. Everybody wanted to play with him. There is a magnetism. Some people have it, some people don't. That's okay. But we're calling on you to be the type of person that's worth following, where you do hold yourself with some confidence. You do have your stuff together, where people look at it. And so what I would say is, if you don't know what that looks like, find somebody you think is worth following in your life and say, what do they do? Yeah. What do they have, and why are they worth following? Is it just because of the charisma they have, or is it because they have some substance there that you want to follow? So that'd be the number one thing, is be someone worth following. I love that addition.
I think my mind went to sports. I mean, you could talk about Dion, for example. I think he's got a few things he should probably get together a little bit. But like, I think about like Patrick Mahomes, you know, very well-known, obviously best quarterback in the league right now. There have been a lot of really talented guys who are just kind of knuckleheads, just idiots. Johnny Manziel, I think of. Even like Joe Namath was kind of known back in the day as like a big party guy.
Boy,
and, goodness, there's a lot. I can't even think of any modern examples. But Cam Newton would be another one. But like, Patrick Mahomes is not like that. He is not only the most talented player that walks on the field every Sunday, he's married, he's got kids, he's got a stable home life, he's not out breaking the law, he's not out at clubs every single night. Like, he is somebody worth following. I don't know like what he does in the privacy of his home, but like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, his teammates can look at him and go, he's not acting like an idiot on the weekends, and he's the most talented guy. I want to follow that guy. I want to be like that. And you see that. Like, he's a very good leader on the football field. There's a lot of people like that versus the guy that's just really, really talented, but to your point, no substance, or is just kind of an idiot otherwise.
Same thing with LeBron, you know, politics aside. The guy has never really been in any major scandal at all. He's got his wife. He's got his kids. Like, again, maybe there are stories about him being at whatever party type of thing. At the end of the day,
no like, blemish right now.
No blemish up to this point, which is fantastic. And so when he walks in the locker room, the guy spends $1 million a year on his body. You don't think that's somebody worth emulating? The guy is the guy opening the gym and closing the gym, basically, because how hard he works, even at his age. That's somebody worth following because he puts the work in, and people can see that. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes, is he's not losing credibility. We talk about this in the home, where once you lose your moral authority in the home,
the credibility points
good, and the credibility, like, it's shot. People aren't going to give it to you, and your wife is going to have a difficult time giving you credibility if you lost the moral authority, which is why porn is such a big deal. You cheat on your wife, or you have porn, or you have all these, you know, major vices or whatever else. Even if you're the guy that plays video games 8 hours a day while she makes the money, you've lost credibility. She's not going to follow you. This is the same thing with peers, is when it comes to being a leader, you have to protect your credibility at all costs. Because the moment it's gone, earning that back is really, really, really hard. So, number two, I'll get us to number two.
And we're going to have to speed around it. And we'll speed we took around. A lot of time.
I don't want to spend long on this one, actually, because we've talked about this so much. But be intentional. Hmm. Don't let this be an accidental or an aimless thing where you step into these situations, the cruise ship situation, and it's like, well, what are we going to do? No, no, no. You need to go into that going, this is, we're not trying to do something stupid here. We're just enjoying the night. Like, I'm going to be intentional with my night where I'm going to step out. We're going to enjoy the cruise. It's very nice. The problem with this is somebody goes around and goes, well, what if you jumped off? It's like, yeah, what if I do? And then he ends up not, I'm assuming, I don't know. I didn't even know the story, so this is tragic. But there's no intentionality there at all. Whether you want to call that it was an accident, for sure, but there's such an aimlessness about this that a young man loses his life, sounds like, because everybody's aimless there. Nobody was intentional on, hey, what if we did this? Because, you know, you look at it, so many guys get in trouble when they just unknowingly walk into things. And there's only so many things you can plead ignorance to and go, I didn't know. The older you get, the less credibility that holds. Speaking of credibility, like, people are going to look at you and go, you're supposed to know. Yeah. Whether you knew or not, you're supposed to know.
You know better.
You know better. And so many guys with their friends, there's no intentionality in what they're doing, and so they just go from place to place. It's the same thing with four-wheeling. The guys will go out four-wheeling, and somebody's not paying attention. Somebody's not wearing a helmet. They're kind of aimless. They're just having fun, and then somebody rolls the four-wheeler and dies. I had a friend where this actually took place, and he died. So, yeah, I mean, it is. There's no intentionality there, and nobody's really asking why. So I don't want to spend long on this, but that's really all I had to say is, I'm so big on asking why. It's okay to ask why of these things.
Well, I'm so big on intentionality in every part of your life, your day, your work, your school, your finding a wife, but even having fun, there needs to be some level of intentionality. So I agree with that. Number two, Joe, you have on here, trust your own judgment. I'm sorry. Yeah, number three. That's right, because I had the one I added. Number three, trust your own judgment. Don't just assume that your friends know what they're doing. And this is, again, we're kind of bashing like friend groups here. And it is because guys sometimes do have a reputation of just being really dumb, just really doing really stupid things. And this is one I put on there. If it feels like it might be a bad idea, don't do it. Like, if your gut is telling you, oh, man, it's pitch black. There's probably sharks jumping off this cruise ship. I don't think that's a great, trust your gut on that. Like once again, this is one of those, like, if you have any realm of doubt about, you know, going out late night driving or the four wheeling, or goodness, there could be all kinds of examples, like breaking into somebody's property. Like, if it feels like a bad idea, don't do it. Trust your own judgment. Now, to the point of being someone worth following, this implies that you have good judgment. You have to have good judgment for us to confidently say, hey, you should probably trust your own judgment.
Yeah.
But I think this is an important element of, once again, like, just trust your gut on this. If it feels like this might get us into some trouble, maybe this is not the most intelligent thing in the world, just don't do it. Just play it safe.
Because look, we're humans. We have a will to survive, right? Like, that's the strongest will that we have, is this will to survive. Jumping off of, I don't care how loud the do it chants are. Not a chance in the world. Like, I don't care about how loud they are screaming at you to do it and how much they're pushing and the chanting and everything else. Don't do it. Like, you trust your instinct and go, you know what? That looks really far down. It's dark. I don't know what's down there. I don't know how I'm going to get back on the cruise ship. This cruise ship
just can't stop on a dime.
Yeah, exactly. This cruise ship ain't stopping for me if I can't swim fast enough. Like, my guess, was alcohol involved?
I would assume, but I
don't know. And we didn't mean to make it all about the cruise ship. It's just a really good example. It's a perfect example for this. It's a perfect example. Alcohol had to be involved in something like that because that's one of the big reasons you never drink alcohol. Your judgment goes out the window.
Yep.
You can't trust your own judgment in this, and so you're forced to trust other people's judgment, which clearly stinks. I mean, it is brutally bad in that situation. Maybe they're all drinking, I don't know. Nobody had the judgment to go, this is really dumb. This is a stupid idea. But we have an internal sense, a drive to survive. So trust your survival instinct. Yeah. Trust your. I like that you put that down. Like, if it feels stupid, don't do it no matter how embarrassing it's going to look. Like, oh, chicken. I'd rather hear chicken than be put in a casket. Is really what it comes down to. And it's not always that serious. We don't want to like, it's not always that serious with friends. You may be called chicken, but you know what? Maybe your life isn't on the line. Your reputation might be on the line. If the cops bust me doing this, that's or exactly if, right, if my, yeah. my parents catch me doing this, or other people's parents, or the principal, or whatever it is, my reputation, my credibility is out the window. And all because I wasn't willing to stand up to a couple knuckleheads calling me chicken. Yeah, thanks. I'll take that one.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I don't have a ton to add on here. I mean, I just think that you do have to have, once again, that confidence in yourself to say, I really don't care what these guys think about me. If it's going to be a stupid idea, I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And maybe it is a matter of you, we're telling you to be a leader and kind of influence other people. Maybe they go ahead and do it anyway.
Right.
That's ultimately not really up to you and you're not really your control. But what you can control is I'm going to stand up and not do that. I'm going to not do the stupid thing. I'm not going to participate in this. And that's really all we're calling you to do in this instance is just, once again, just don't be a follower.
Right.
Don't be a follower of those types of things. But Joe, you had on the kind of the bottom here of this section, the idea of having your own standard, not just going off of others. I really wanted to make sure that you got time to talk about that because I do think that's really important in this section.
Yeah, yeah. If the standard that you hold is like what everybody else thinks, you kind of take a consensus. This is what low testosterone males do, right? Like yeah. They look around and they go, okay, which way is the wind blowing?
What do you think?
Like, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh man, everybody's doing it. Yeah, okay, let's do it. They have no standard of their own. They're always bumming off of somebody else's standard. Then they get married. They're bumming off their wife's standard. You know, whatever she wants. Okay, honey, I guess I'll do it. And so they never have a standard of their own. And it starts with their friends. Do they hold themselves to a high enough standard where it's like, I'm not dipping below this. You want me to do that? I'm not doing it. You want me to lie to my parents? I'm not doing that. You want me to do X, Y, Z? So the leadership element is really being able to have your own standard, to set the standard and to keep it. And not only to keep the standard, to stand up for that standard. I'm not dropping below this. And somebody tries to drag you down, whatever it may be, peer pressure wise, or you know, just the leader is somebody who is able to impart his standard to others, whether they agree with it or not. This is where we're going. This is the vision. This is my standard. I'm not dropping below it. And if you're going to consistently ask me to drop below it, we're not friends anymore, right? We're not friends. I'm done with this relationship because your standard matters to you that much. So when we talk about trusting your own judgment, you have to trust that my judgment is good enough, and we build judgment through hanging around wise people and asking lots of questions and knowing your why and things like that. So if you trust your judgment, if you don't trust your judgment, it's best to stay away from knuckleheads until you learn how to have judgment. But if you do, then you can have your own standard and you can stick to it and you can actually hold conversations about why this standard matters so much to you.
This actually speaks to something we've done before also about kind of having your own opinions. I was listening to a podcast about the idea. I listened to a decent bit of like sports content, mm-hmm. and one of the guys was making the point, like, you can very much tell a sports opinionist who literally just did what you're talking about, like, where's the wind blowing on this take? Okay, this is the take I'm gonna, this is the opinion I'm gonna have because everybody else has that opinion. And then you can tell the people who are like, man, that's a little bit out there, but they really believe it. It was like, that's their original take.
Oh, yeah.
And I think similarly with kind of the what you're talking about here of have your own standard. Have your own thoughts. Like, you don't always have to go with what everybody else thinks about said issue or everybody else thinks this about, has this opinion, but, you know, okay, I guess I should. Like, don't be a contrarian, but it's okay to have your own thoughts and to have your own standards. Again, like, I just think that's an important element of being a godly young man is, like, just because your circle of friends has this take doesn't mean you have this take or this opinion or this whatever. And so, yeah, that's important. Joe, let's get to the last thing here as we're getting close to time. So we talked about the idea of being somebody worth following, be intentional, trusting your own judgment. I think what this comes down to is you just need to be a tone setter among your friends. Like, again, leader might not be the best word. We certainly don't want you to be a follower. But like, I think where my mind ultimately went with this is you need to be a tone setter among your friends. We've talked about this in the terms of family before. The husband and the father is the tone setter, the culture setter. But specifically among your friends, you need to be the type of guy that ultimately kind of sets the tone of like certain things you're not going to do. we're not going to make those kind of jokes. Yep. Many people start making jokes, you know, kind of gets a little coarse, whatever. Like, you know what? We're just not going to make those jokes. We're not going to look at girls in that way. We're not going to talk about females in that way. Like, goodness knows, high school guys can really get off the rails talking about girls, looking at girls, yep. objectifying girls. You need to be the tone setter in your circle of friends, your little group or whatever, that when maybe it starts going that direction, you say, all right, guys, that's enough. That's really not appropriate. And again, you're going to get looked at and labeled as like, really? Are you kidding me? Right. Like, how lame? You got to rise above it. But if you repeatedly are setting this tone, and if they're good enough friends and you guys have a good enough relationship, hopefully that will, you know, again, grow leaps and bounds in the sense of like, they'll realize, man, I guess we just shouldn't do that kind of thing. If they're kind of fake, shallow acquaintances yeah. that just want to do stupid stuff, then maybe they're not the friends you should have anyway. But Joe, what else would you have on here? Like, just setting the tone, I think, is really, really important.
Yeah. Yeah. I same thing. We're not going to look at that on our phones you have down here. I think that's great. We're not going to cheat in school. I'm not going to cheat on that test. You know, everybody's passing the answer.
That's right.
Guys, we're not going to do that. You know, but it's not just about what we're not going to do, because sometimes, again, you're going to get that reputation. Yeah, you always just come down on us. No, we're going to pay attention in worship and to participate in the you know, this in singing and things like that.
We're going to take notes during the sermon.
Yeah,
We're going to participate and be engaged in Bible class. Like, whatever it is, it can be so easy to just... once again, just kind of tune out and not pay attention. Like, no, that's not what we're going to do.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We're going to be diligent, hard workers. We're going to work hard on that test. Let's get together and study, guys. Let's cram on you know, Thursday night. We got a big final coming up on Friday. How about everybody come over to my house, or we'll meet at the library or whatever it is. You can be the plan guy. You can be the tone setter that says, we're going to diligently work hard on this test. And be the guy that's pushing everybody to be better. We're going to treat people kindly. We're going to respect the elderly. We're going to take care of that person. We're going to take care of this. We're going to treat this woman as a sister in Christ rather than a piece of meat. Like, there's a level of pushing for what you think ought to happen, specifically what Christ thinks should happen, and being willing to stand behind that, going back to the last point of having your own standard. Have that standard, you know, based in Christ. Last one you have on here, we're going to strive for greatness. That's what this podcast is all about. We're going to strive for greatness. We're going to be better. We're going to hit that higher standard. And that's, to me, that's what it is in with friends and such. You want friends that encourage you to make these decisions.
Yep.
Encourage you in this, where when you say, we're going to strive for greatness, you go, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. And you also want friends where you don't have to be the leader who's constantly the lone guy saying, hey, let's do this, let's do that. Or let's not do that. Hey, guys, we're not going to look at porn. And then, you know, a day goes by. Hey, we're not going to do this. We're going to, at some point, drop those friends. If you're always having to stand up against all of the problem, drop those friends. On the other hand, you want to make friends that when you do take a stand and go, hey, let's get together at the library, they go, yeah, let's do that. I'll buy the pizza. You know, let's do this, let's do that. You bring the books. And so they engage in the process here. And the leadership is so much easier to handle. One of the reasons, going back to the very beginning with that cabinet idea for Trump, so he's establishing his cabinet. That's because he doesn't have time to rule every single one of them, right? You know, to preside over all of them. Yeah, he's the head guy, but he's the transportation and the Secretary of State and all the other ones he's appointing. That's your job. Yeah. Now, they'll report to Trump, and that's great, but that's their job. And so delegating some of this and having people in your corner who are going to help in some of these areas is huge. But at the end of the day, being a leader, I love that you put this down. This, to me, is one of the keys. Be a tone setter. We talk about this in the home all the time. As husbands, godly husbands and fathers, we have to be the tone setter. This is what we do around here, right? We create that culture. We've talked about that. This is exactly that with friends.
We're going to do an episode in the future. We were realizing, strictly on peer pressure, we don't think we've done an episode on it. I mean, obviously, we've touched around it, episodes like this. We've kind of, you know, gotten at a few things here and there. But like a specific episode about like, okay, when this happens, this is what, you know, like, obviously, alcohol is a big one, pornography, that kind of thing.
Right.
We will probably be looking to do that here very soon in the future. This episode, we did keep it a little bit more generic, a little bit more zoomed out, just because, once again, it's not just about being a leader. When it comes to your peers, it's just about not being a follower.
Yeah.
Like, do not follow stupid people. Don't just be in with the crowd because, oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, not to dramatize or catastrophize it or whatever the word is. People have died. People have ended up paralyzed. People, their lives have been ruined, gone to jail, criminal record, whatever it is, just because they were not man enough to stand up and say, I'm not doing that. You go for it. Feel free to ruin your life. I'm not about to do it. That's really the point of this episode, is encouraging you guys, hoping that you guys will have the backbone to not do that kind of thing, to stand up. And again, even if it's not a sinful moral issue, but it is a just really dumb, stupid issue, Have that backbone. Don't be a follower. Look to lead among your friends. Look to be a tone. I'm glad we ended here. Look to be a tone setter in all those years. You got anything else to add?
No. No, I think
we have got a very special surprise coming up for the next two episodes, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
Episode 99 is obviously going to be dropping on Christmas Eve. And so we were kind of talking about what do we want to do. It's going to be the holiday. It's going to be fun. We're not going to preview it or anything. We're just, going to have to log on, click on link, click on the link next time and watch it. It's going to be really good. It's going to be different than any episode we've ever done before. And then episode 100, of course, that it's one of those, like, how do you commemorate episode 100? We've got something.
Oh yeah. Cool, we got some good stuff ready for episode 100 that we are very, very excited for. So stay with us. We asked that, I think, in episode 93 or something like that. How many have been the entire way?
Which was really cool. We got a few comments.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got a few that reached out. And so we really appreciate it. And hey, we're about to hit 99. We'll call that the great one, right, in honor of Wayne Gretzky. The great one on that episode.
Hockey player for all those of you who probably aren't.
If you don't know who Wayne Gretzky is, get off of this. Because hopefully, if you're watching on YouTube, go watch some Wayne Gretzky highlights. But no, we very much appreciate you sticking with us. Thank you for listening to episode 98 of the Golly MN podcast. We'll be back next week with a very special episode. So stay tuned.